you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hi, my name is Danny Roth, and this is Everyday Horror. It's a podcast where we watch at least one horror movie for every day in the month of October, and then we talk about it. I was trying to do a spooky thing, and then I just turned into like a Lou Gehrig baseball speech. But that's okay, because I'm joined by somebody who tolerates me so much, they came back a second time. Associate editor at Sci-Fi Fangirls, Courtney Enlow. That's right. I got the title right?
You got the title right. You did good.
Yeah. I would have been really much better if I was super confident, not like a person that like had to suddenly second guess their friend's job title like a jerk.
Yep. Hey, you know what, Danny?
Yeah.
I tolerate you.
Oh, that's no small potatoes. It's a very nice thing of you. And I'm surprised of all the people that were going to come back, because I went back and listened to like, I felt like we kept saying like we hated each other a bunch. Well, so many times throughout that podcast.
I will say, it was actually more you, which is very funny because in real life, I'm meaner to you than you are to me.
That's true.
It's more equal in real life. Yeah. In the podcast, though, you're just yelling at me like some kind of monster.
I mean, you can't tell right now. And by that, I mean both the audience and you, Courtney, because you're not here in my house at this moment. But I actually am. I'm in full monster mode. Do you want to take a guess how many eyes / feet I've got rolling right now?
I like that your version of monster is many eyes and many feet.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds terrible.
Not like crepe hair, not like fangs, just lots of feet, just like so many feet. You're in your mind, it's just a spider. You're just a spider.
I am actually really terrified of spiders, but now what I think is that I'm only a monster to some, but to foot fetishists, I'm like just so many feet to massage. Anyway, this is gross. Hey, do you want to talk about a horror movie? That'll be
let's
a different
talk about
kind of
the,
gross.
Let's talk about the good gross movie.
Okay, yeah. So this movie, say what the title of it is, and then I'll say the thing. Which one is it?
I love this movie more than I love people in my actual family. I love this movie so much. It is Jennifer's Body, and it is so very good.
It is, and I will say this. When I told people that this podcast was going to happen, this is the movie I feel that has come up in conversation with randoms who are not cool enough to be on a podcast. That's cruel. I don't mean that. But a lot of people I talk to.
Bunch of normals running around out there.
Yeah, those people that don't podcast for a living. Suckers. A lot of people said, oh, you should do Jennifer's Body. Maybe more than any other movie that came up. That was up in the top. And I wonder, this movie came out in 2009. Am I misremembering? I don't seem to recall this movie being that beloved upon release.
So here's the thing. You know what happened to this movie? Misogyny happened to this movie because it was a combination.
Whoa.
Oh, I'm getting into it right off the bat. It was a combination of like the post Juno like loathing of Diablo Cody and just like writing her off as this like quirky writer. Megan Fox was kind of getting like early slut shamed just right off the bat, like written off. And so like the combination of those things, this movie was just decided to be terrible without people really giving it a shot. And it deserved so much better.
Yeah, my Megan Fox is really going through it, as I seem to recall. Because, like, wasn't this right around the same time that she made, like a Hitler comment about Michael Bay? Is that a thing that happened?
It did happen. And you know what? I think looking back, she was right. And then he, like, destroyed her. I mean, like, okay, you don't make the Hitler comparison. Whatever.
Yes. That's
I'm pretty, just
that,
saying.
Don't whatever he, that. That's I mean, I'm important. Not
gonna
that's pretty that. Important.
I'm not going to whatever that. But, he was just a really big, giant asshole that then, like, ruined her career out of spite and pettiness. So I'm going to give her that one.
All right. I mean, like, look, here's what I'll say. I mean, like, when you say that he did it, also, I mean, Michael Bay didn't act alone. It is relevant that Steven Spielberg also kind of was like, oh, you said what? Cool. Like, every once in a while, Steven Spielberg, like, jumps in and goes, your career's over. That's, like, one of his moves. He did that to the beef, to Shia LaBeouf, when Shia was like, Indiana Jones 4 is actually not good. And that was true, and you can say whatever else you want about the beef, but, like, I have no beef with him saying that honest thing, that movie was maybe not the best. And Spielberg was like, what? Career over. And it was. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I feel like that and the fact that, yeah, Megan Fox was sort of, like, unfortunately living in this, I mean, like, slut-shamed, bad, but, like, watching the Transformers movies, like, gosh, they're gross.
Oh, they're gross. She, like, was just objectified at every single turn, and she basically called him out for being terrible. She worded it badly. But then, like, the whole crew got in on it, and everyone was just, like, attacking this actress whose career never fully recovered. And it is a bummer.
Yeah. And this is, yeah, this is sort of like one of those last films. And yeah, so it's a mixture of that and, like, yeah, Diablo Cody, you know, I mean, her movies
are... The world was unkind to Diablo Cody, though. Like, her movies, like, it's not even that her movies, like, they're not spectacular. She was reacted to in a way that male auteurs are not. And I think that if anyone disagrees with me, they're stupid.
Yeah. I mean, this. What's funny is, like, I was going to say, I mean, it's not like at the time that people were having, like, or maybe they were talking about Juno in a critical way, but I don't think that was the reason why this film was maybe not. Like, people were like, oh, remember that time that she had the girl talking her hamburger phone about an abortion? That's stupid. That's what I remember. I remember being like, Diablo Cody writes garbage and I hate her. That's what I remember. There just being a whole lot of hatred set in her direction. Perhaps, not perhaps, definitely, perhaps an over extreme. I don't know why I keep saying perhaps. And a really extreme reaction to something relatively minor, like someone saying they were going to talk into their hamburger phone.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
People went in on her in a way that they, I mean, I'm going to say, like, Kevin Smith. No, like, people didn't go in on Kevin Smith that way when he was doing, like, similar things or things of equal levels of quirky nonsense. But, yeah. But sure, let's attack this woman and her baby movie.
Yeah. Look at how many years we pretended that Joss Whedon talked the way other people talk.
Right.
How many years did we pretend that was true?
Yeah.
A long time. But not Diablo Cody. That was like, and that was just, that's not how people talk. That's glib and dumb and she's bad. Meanwhile, like, not only Jennifer's body, but just kind of wanted to, like, drop this one in there, but young adult, just an amazing movie. Just to put it out there. Not a horror movie, but, like, Patton Oswalt and Charlize Theron as a person just going through some stuff as a writer. Like, I watched that film and said, I know a lot of people who are just not doing right, not doing well, and reacting in an unhealthy way to things that did just exactly this. And I would include myself having done some similar things. And that whole movie was like an almost 2-hour gut punch. So Diablo Cody, I'm just going to put it out there, very talented.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion. Yeah. But Jennifer's Body is maybe one of the most improved upon by history, like, film ever made. Like, just like one of those films where they weren't beloved when they first came out. And now, even in the world of horror, where, you know, John Carpenter's The Thing did bad when it came out. And now people say it's, you know, top three greatest horror movies of all time. I would put Jennifer's Body on an equal tier, to be honest. Yes. Every time I rewatch it, I get more out of it.
I The Thing is one of my favorite movies. And this is also in that category to me. Like, it's just so good. And we rejected this amazing gift we were given. Vice actually just put out an article today talking about how Jennifer's body would have crushed if it had come out today. And I don't know that it would have, but like I like to think that it would have. It talked about how in reviews at the time, like one of the few good reviews, or fairly good, was Roger Ebert, who didn't seem to realize that this movie was about misogyny and like the teen girl experience, its parallels to rape culture. Like people just didn't pick up on that. Whereas now we're inundated with that on a daily basis. So it's, but at the time, like people just did not necessarily get that that's what was happening. It was just written off as like, oh, dumb cheerleader zombie movie.
Yeah, it sure is not that thing. It is not at all. That's wild. But that's, yeah, I mean, I don't remember it being really well reviewed. But I would say, yeah, if someone just wrote an article, I would say, if we're keeping in mind, I mean, I assume I didn't read the article, that they must have written it because of the crazy money that Halloween just made in its opening weekend. And that is a movie that stars not just a woman, but like an older woman, just getting some revenge. I don't want to ruin it in case anybody still hasn't seen it somehow, but a real good movie that deserved to make a lot of money and did. And I think deals with some different issues, but yeah, like women suffering, how to deal with some horror bullshit, and then, you know, doing their best to get right, but also violence.
They kind of share that trauma is what the movie hinges upon, and then the rest of the movie is basically like looking for like justice and to fill a need that has been created by that trauma. And that's what I love about Jennifer's Body, is what it's is that like, and it might be just subtle enough that like people who haven't, who's life experience is not just that 24/7, aka the cis white men who watched it initially, I don't think they caught any of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably true. But hey, before we go any further, I feel like we should probably say what the movie's about.
Because justice in this world, they've seen it.
Okay, but there isn't justice in this world. I can tell you that because I live on this planet and it's bad.
The world is bad, but Jennifer's Body is good.
Yeah, it is. What happens in that movie? Courtney, what is the plot/pitch of this movie?
Amanda Seyfried plays Needy, and she is kind of like the bookish quiet girl, and her best friend is Jennifer, played by Megan Fox, who is like super hottie popular. They're a strange pairing, but they're best friends, lifelong besties. They go to see a douche canoe of a band called Low Shoulder, fronted by Adam Brody in one of the finest performances of his career. That man deserves much better as well. I love me an Adam Brody. So they're at this bar, this dive bar, where this band's performing. The bar burns down. The band takes Jennifer with them, presumably to do what we assume is some kind of sexual assault. She comes back not right. She comes back all wrong and has a taste for male flesh and just starts killing boys and acting real happy about it. She's having a great time. She's super happy. Everyone else is sad because like the bar burned down and people died, and she's thriving.
I mean, like, well, in brief spurts, like, when she is a murdering the men, doing great. If it's been a minute since she's did a murdering, not feeling so great.
Yeah, there's some correlations to, not necessarily bipolar disorder, but like bouts of like hypomania and depression. Because there was a weird sense of like, I kind of relate to this, where it's just like, yes, I'm feeling great. I'm crushing it. I'm great. And then you're like, well, my skin's bad. My hair is all dry. I kind of just want to lay here and die for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, someone's attracted to me. I'm fine again. Like, that's, okay. It's like relatable.
You should try murders.
I'm going to try a murder.
Okay.
And get back to you.
Cool. I'm glad that you said this on this podcast that's going to go out in an official capacity mm-hmm. for a subsidiary
from our
of NBC Universal yeah. Comcast. It's great.
Yeah.
So Courtney's going to do some murders, at least one.
And at see least how one. It, just see to how see it plays. What it's like.
Yeah. I mean, you know, cross it off the bucket list. Hope that the other person that gets killed has also done some bucket listing because their time is
I
up.
Swear I'm not going to murder anyone.
Oh, okay.
I swear. No.
All right. I don't know if I believe you, but no. only because I'm feeling disappointed that you said that.
I know.
Anyway.
Hey, maybe you, if you play your cards right.
All right. I'll try and talk you into it. That's not right. illegal, is it? Or
nope.
is it? I don't know. Anyway, here's the bottom line. Yeah. So we find out that she's kind of like a succubus. That's sort of the deal. Mm-hmm. Like she was supposed to be a sacrifice, Jennifer.
Yeah,
it turns out this band
is not like it really does seem like they're just like taking her out into the woods to like assault her. What yeah. they did instead was try to sacrifice her for like wealth, fame, and power and success. Except for here's the thing, they just kind of assumed she was a virgin and she wasn't. And when you you do a virgin sacrifice with a non-virgin, she becomes a demon. Hell yes, she does. And she's
yes.
very good at it.
Yeah, except that, like, Needy is not really sure about all that. And then there's some, questionable bisexual overtures, which I have always felt a little, about. But you can feel free to try to convince me. That's actually how that works.
I don't feel weird about it because it's pretty clear early on in the movie. Like, Needy is attracted to Jennifer the whole movie. Like, she's super into Jennifer. She doesn't necessarily yeah. understand that's what's happening until the opportunity presents itself to just go for it.
Yeah, but then this other thing happens, which is Jennifer gets mad and then kills Needy's boyfriend. That's the thing that happens.
It is.
And then, like, yeah, then there's just like a big showdown between Needy and Jennifer. And then the way that shakes out is that Needy wins, but she gets like bit and then she gains the powers. She gets some powers there at the end. So she's like in an institution for a little while
she goes to jail because she murdered Jennifer. That people didn't know Jennifer was already dead.
Yeah, they didn't know that she was dead / a demon of some kind.
Yeah.
A demoness of some variety. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, so she's like in a jail / facility of some type. And then she just kind of chills. She feels a little better, starts doing some floating.
Gets a good levitate on.
And then I would say we get top 10, maybe even top 5 best post-credits sequences. And even like during credits, just some credits rolling. And then she goes and what does she do? Courtney, what happens then?
And it's a really good line because she hitchhikes to go to Madison, I believe. I think this movie takes place in like the Milwaukee-ish region or the Wisconsin region. And she is going there and she's going to see a band. And she says, tonight's their last show because she's going to fucking kill them. And she does. And I'm not saying that Sharp Objects was inspired by this for their final episode's post-credit sequence, but it's very much like when I saw Sharp Objects kind of do the same thing, I was like, oh, y'all, someone saw Jennifer's body. Someone's doing great. So it's done in like kind of a found footage kind of way of just like snapshots of the band just like partying, being douchebags. And then you never actually see it happen, but Amanda Seyfried apparently shows up and does some good killing.
Yeah, she does some like really like the most satisfying murders of the whole movie. And there's some in fairness, you know, Jennifer does some murders and a lot of the time you're kind of like, good.
Yeah.
Good. Like, I don't really feel bad about a lot of those murders that happen. Like, you kind of spend a fair amount of time being on Jennifer's side. One could argue that someone might, like me, for example, might take her side. And despite that, yes, the post credits and during credits murders are superb. Maybe some of my most satisfying deaths in a film of all time, despite the fact that you don't really see the whole thing.
She busts out of jail to the song Violet by Hole, which is one of my favorite all-time songs. And it was so satisfying to have that be the ending song. And it's just, every bit of it is just joy and rapture.
It's so anyway, a good movie, a great movie, really, truly. I mean, I know that I was going to say, how did it ever do bad? But the answer is sexism. And that's that. So that's that. So we don't actually need to spend even another second on that. People have talked a lot about sort of the relationship, the toxic friendship between Needy and Jennifer. Do you have thoughts about that?
I have thoughts of that being a friendship that I found myself in many, many times growing up. Like that
was good. I was afraid that you meant like right now, like you were going to say that I was the Jennifer to your Needy.
Oh man, you are such a Jennifer. Just my popular cheerleader friend.
It's true.
It's true. But no, like I've been the Needy. And I think that's why I'm very quick to be like, no, she was bi the entire time. Cause I've been the Needy, and spoiler alert, Needy was bi the entire time. That's basically, that's a friendship. I think a lot of girls and women have at least one friendship like that in their history. The friend that just kind of took and took and took, and you put up with it because friendship.
Here's a question. How much of that, how extreme do you think it was pre getting on the sucky bus? Like, how bad was it before that? Was it as bad?
Well, they didn't show a lot, but like, I think there's that moment at the end where she says, like, you were never a good friend. You were all like, you know, so I think that probably the implication is that it's always kind of been like that. She's just extra evil when she goes full succubus.
Huh. I don't want to say like it's a critique in the sense that like I'm 100% right about this, but I do find myself wishing that we had gotten a better sense that yes, there was some of this conflict that, but like at the same time, like I don't think of Jennifer as being a bad person. And in my view, my take on it, and when I think about this film, maybe even despite some of the evidence to the contrary, I find myself thinking like it was this sexual assault that Jennifer experiences that breaks up their friendship because she feels so alienated from the whole world that she just can't function. And even her closest friend is a person that she can no longer relate with.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of, that's kind of the story that I wanted to see. I mean, you know, maybe a little bit sympathy for the devil in this case, but I don't know. I in rewatching it over and over again, I find myself liking Jennifer, and especially, yes, feeling a great swelling of empathy towards her when she does experience what is unquestionably an assault. It's just, you know, of a supernatural variety, because in that moment she's legit scared before they even get there, because she knows that a bad thing is going to happen to her. And she just, I don't know, she's a very, like Megan Fox does a killer job of making, for me, Jennifer a person that I can feel things for.
I mean, that's the thing. I think that Megan Fox is superb in this movie. And there is, I mean, it's not as cut and dry as she's a bad person. And that's how you can kind of tell that, like, a woman wrote this and a woman directed this. Because there isn't necessarily good and evil. There are shades of being right and wrong and justified and valid. And everyone is kind of just different levels of shitty and wonderful in their own ways. And that's just not something we tend to get to see in horror, especially where, you know, people tend to be archetypes. They don't necessarily get those shades of humanity.
It's interesting because they, I think that Megan Fox and Karen Kusama kind of flipped the script on, because you could have very easily had Needy be the girlfriend, the side character, and instead it's Chip, who is her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he kind of takes on the hapless, helpless one that gets in trouble, but like, he doesn't really do there's not a whole ton of rescuing that Chip does. Chip is in need of rescuing, except he kind of doesn't deserve it.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think Chip is the implication that she wasn't a great friend before exists solely in Chip, who is not wild about Jennifer. I think that that's kind of where we're supposed to glean that she's always been kind of a shitty friend.
But then, counterpoint, Chip sucks.
Yeah.
Like, he's very bad, and the reason that I don't trust anything that he says re-Jennifer and her not being a good person is because as soon as he is given the opportunity to, you know, tap that ass, he goes for it because he's a scumbag.
Of course, that's just, but that's also, like, that's high school boys. Like, they, every, like, high school boy in this movie is just, like, useless and dumb, and she dispatches them with glee and honor.
Full confession, I 100% left a girl for her friend when I was in high school. That is a thing I did. And yeah. Then I did it again. I did it twice over.
You deserve and it was all to get in this... good and Jennifer'd.
Wow, that's true. Retroactively, somebody should put, like, Megan Fox isn't really, I don't know what she's up to, but
yeah.
If someone said, hey, do you want to get in this time machine and murder this man? I feel like her answer would be yes.
Mm-hmm.
So and please don't ask her. Please what? Don't. Please don't, though. Courtney, like, please don't. Please don't.
I mean, I won't.
Mm.
I won't.
You kind of want to, though. Like, in this moment, you were thinking about it. And I'm just saying, please don't.
I won't. I won't.
Okay.
Will I?
86% sure. I mean, I haven't, like, Back to the Futured out of the situation yet.
I'll let you finish the month out. You've got more podcasts to do.
Oh, that's a fair point. I do have so much more thrilling work.
You've got so much more content.
I got to make that content. You can't unmake me yet. Got to finish that content first. Mm-hmm. Pull in those numbers so that someone else can do this again next year after I have been retroactively murdered by Megan Fox.
Yep.
All right. So what else is I was going to... What else is there? There's so many. There's a lot of juicy quality stuff. I like the murders. The look of the murders is good.
They are
the blood and the guts are real good.
Oh man, that scene where she kills the emo kid and she's literally just like drinking his blood on her hands and knees, like she's like at like a babbling brook and just fetching herself some water. It's just such a a gentle moment.
Yeah, gosh, she really, she gets them all. It's like she gets the jock, she gets the goth kid, she gets the boy next door who's the quote nice guy. She really, like, all of the shitty douchebag archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
She like a homicidal Pokemon. She catches them all.
Yeah,
good work. Wow, this is
so good.
Thinking about this movie. Just really well done. Just really covers all the bases.
And they just good and disemboweled. Disemboweling.
They get real dead. Like, I think she bites a wiener off, too. Like, that. I think that athlete gets, a wiener bit off, probably.
It's one of those things that, I don't know that it happened, but, we'll just say that it did.
So, anyway, I had mentioned that, obviously, Diablo Cody went on and did some things, but hey... how about this director who I feel like is just about to kind of really get the big, everybody is going to want to work with her all the time treatment. I think that's she's about to blow up super big, has been consistently working this whole time, but also is about to get, a crazy huge. So Karen Kusama, she did Girl Fight in 2000. The live action version of Aeon Flux, which BT dubs, I highly recommend giving a rewatch. Not perfect, but better than I think a lot of people give it credit for. An episode of The L Word and then Jennifer's Body. So not a ton of stuff prior to, really only two feature flicks before Jennifer's Body came around. Then she did The Invitation in 2015. So if you were looking for some good horror stuff... that's a great movie. Have you seen The Invitation by chance?
I have, yes.
Oh, real good. Another one on my list of if someone had said, let's talk about this movie on your silly daily horror podcast, I would have been all about it. And then, did a bunch of TV and now is got that that Destroyer film coming out, which I think is going to be one of those everybody wins all the awards movies.
Well, and when Jason Blumhouse said his silly thing about how,
oh yeah,
there aren't any women directors, I know because I asked two of them and they said no. So there were, that was all the women. Everyone pretty much, like, if there was one name that was constantly shared, it was Karen Kusama.
Gosh, who's in this movie? Nicole Kidman, Sebastian Stan, Bradley Whitford. Oh, I don't know. Greatest actress to ever play like 20 billion different people, Tatiana Maslany. It's just kind of like, I don't know what to say about that Blum character. Not really sure how to respond to this particular thing. Because, yeah, like, I don't know if Destroyer is a horror movie per se, but I am shit sure that it's horrific as hell.
Yeah.
And yes, I am also really confident that a lot of people are going to get, there's going to be a lot of awards that go out. You know, like Nicole Kidman, she got some awards that time that they gave her a nose in the Hours. And I'm a little dubious on that, but I'm feeling way better about the Destroyer situation.
I love Nicole Kidman. I will not tolerate any slander of her good name.
Wow.
Or her good nose.
I'm just saying that I don't, like, there are many films that I would have awarded her little golden statuettes for, and I don't know that The Hours is that one, but that's not her fault. That is that film as a whole, and even its source material. I'm very sorry, author of the book based on The Hours. I read it, and I just, anyway, that's a whole, just getting sidetracked.
That's your other podcast, Everyday Hours.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we have discussed about how this movie is very great, how it looks great, how the writing is good, the directing is good, that Megan Fox is the joint, and that High School Boys bad, and them getting murdered, maybe not a thing you should do in real life, but satisfying on the whole movie watch, because we can tell the difference between reality and fantasy.
High School Boys bad, douchey bands bad. I don't want them to die, but if they do get succubused, so be it.
Skeet Ulrich is really great at being a dad on Riverdale, but that doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy the hell out of him going out a window in The Craft.
Oh.
That's how it works.
Oh, can you do another episode on that movie just so I can be on it?
Yeah, maybe we'll do it. We'll Everyday do it next craft. Year. Everyday Craft. Everyday a craft.
Mm-hmm. Sponsored by Craft Singles.
There you go. Yeah, it'll be The Craft Singles, and then like one day I'll throw Caution in the Wind and I'll do Croft and I'll talk about Tomb Raider on it. Anyway, hey, let's say somebody watches Jennifer's Body on our recommendation or has already seen it and listened to this podcast and just nodded their head furiously in agreement to every single thing that we said. Gosh, this movie is great, and you and I, very smart. What's another movie that people should check out based on our recommendations? What movie that would that be?
They're not tonally similar in any way, shape, or form other than ladies getting to do badass kills. But I would say Your Next kind of has that. It's like a good horror comedy. The women are the ones that are great and men are useless. And so I recommend it.
All right. I want to recommend a bad movie. Is that all right? A movie that's trash, but kind of hilarious.
Yes, always.
All right. I am going to recommend Nightmare Sisters, which is this garbage filmed over a weekend in the 1980s. David Dakota film with Linnea Quigley, Brink Stevens, and Michelle Bauer, a.k.a. like the three biggest scream queens of like the VHS specific, like the direct to VHS 80s era. They did a couple of films. I mean, they did tons of films independently. They did a couple together. Nightmare Sisters is, in fact, about a trio of very nerdy sorority sisters who get possessed and become demons and then eat dudes. They just eat them.
Yes, queens.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a lot of, you know, it's a movie that was obviously made in order to satisfy males who wanted to watch naked ladies, like, take a bath. like help each other take a bath for 20 minutes for no reason. Mm-hmm. And that's dumb. But honestly, Linnea Quigley with like her big fake nerdy teeth and Brink Stevens and like giant fake glasses and Michelle Bauer in a fat suit. They get, there's like whole scenes where the three of them are just having pure dialogue and nothing else. And it is a delight. And I would say that just for that, if you're like, oh, I'm not really into the nudity aspect, just fast forward through that stuff and just enjoy three actresses having a good time playing dweebs before murdering men.
Watch this movie for the articles.
Yeah, that's right. That's legit. Thanks for making me feel really good. Thanks for putting it in that context to make me feel like a complete scumbag, Courtney. I appreciate it. All right. Well, on that note, we cracked it.
That's what I do. I'm just here to make you feel terrible all the time.
Podcast over. Hey, Courtney, where can people find you? Not in your house, because that would be weird, but on the internet.
Please don't come to my house. You can find me on Twitter at Court Enloe. You can read my stuff at Sci-Fi Fangirls. And you can also listen to my podcast, Trends Like These, which I co-host with Brent Black and Travis McElroy, wherever podcasts are found.
Wow. Never heard of those two losers. Is that good? That one, Trends Like These, is it okay?
It's fine.
All right. I guess I'll check it out.
It's fine. I talk nonsense on it sometimes.
Okay. For you. I mean, not for those other two jokers, but for you, I'll check it out.
You know what they are? A couple of amateurs.
Yeah. That's what I always say. That Travis McElroy, never heard of that guy. Just a real, and Brent Black, no friend of mine. Anyway, my name's Danny Roth. Haha, I'm weird. You can find all my articles and stuff on sci-fi.com. I write them. I got this podcast. I've got a news podcast that goes up there. Sometimes they put me in videos, and then you have to see my face, too. Horrifying. Really scary. And, yeah, if you want to also endure my social media, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Danny Ordinary. That is Danny with one N. Ordinary, also with one N. And friends, thanks for listening to this podcast. Remember, there's only one cure for the horrors of every day, and that's a little everyday horror. See you next time.